morning. I'm going to be in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 3. The book of Revelation chapter number 3. The last few Wednesday nights, I suppose I've been preaching to the church. And I guess this morning it's not going to be any different. It's where God's had my heart at. So you listen carefully this morning. If you're a child of God, I'm going to say you are the church today. The church is not this building right here. Though we label it Liberty Baptist Church, if you're a child of God, you are the church. And this word this morning is for you. Matter of fact, why don't you just turn to the person beside you and say, he's going to preach to me this morning. All right, we'll read a few verses in the book of Revelation chapter number 3. Guess I better get this thing wired up. Some of you might not hear me. You're supposed to be flagging me down up there, boy. Holler. I told you I wasn't good at this stuff. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, turn this thing up. I'm getting old and weak. Revelation chapter number 3. The Bible says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. I'm afraid that's where a lot of churches are in the day that we live today. They've got a name that they live, but the Lord says they're dead. Because they've turned to entertainment, turned the house of prayer into a place of entertainment, of ear tickling, gone from faith to fables, gone from Bible doctrine to doctrine of devils, gone from the glory of God to a graveyard. Jesus said, you got a name that you're alive, but he said, I'm saying you're dead. Now he's talking to the church. He ain't talking to the building now, remember? Remember who the church is this morning. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If thou for thou shalt not watch, I'll come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I'll confess his name before my Father, before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your grace this morning, Lord, for letting us be here today, for health and strength, for the Word of God, for the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the gospel this morning, and thank you for your church, oh Lord, that you said that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And Father, I need you this morning, God. I need your anointing power, Lord. God, you've given me a word to preach to your people today, God. And Lord, I submit myself to you, God. I humble myself under your mighty hand. God, would you speak through these lips of clay now, God? And Lord, would you give glory to your name, God? May the church be edified. And sinners, God, be convicted today. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. This morning, as we look into the Word of God, I want to look at verse number 1 and verse number 2. I want to look at this phrase in verse number 1 where he said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Let me repeat that. He said, be watchful. Talking to you and I. He said, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Is there anybody in here that's been to the doctor lately? Huh? I borrowed this thing from Brother Kevin. Try to get a point across to you. Anybody been to the doctor lately? You know, when you go to the doctor, you got a problem that you realize, don't you? But when you go to the doctor, you want to go in there to somebody that's an expert, don't you? You want to get an expert opinion. You want to get some medicine or something other to help you, don't you? Well, I got some medicine for you right here this morning. It's called the Word of God today. And He sent a word down here for you to help you with some of your ailments this morning. I'm afraid a lot of us fall into this category right here. Some things that's getting weak in our life, in our spiritual lives, friend. And God said, you better be watchful. You better wake up today. You better strengthen those things which remain that are ready to die. Well, listen, when I go to the doctor, friend, I don't want him to just beat around the bush, friend. If I've got a problem, I want to get a shot for it. I want to get some help. I want to get it fixed real quick. Don't you? Don't you? Yeah, man. Well, listen, first of all, friend, let's do a little examining of ourselves today. Let's let the Word of God sink into our hearts and in our minds today. Let's do a little self-examination and see if we got some needs today in our life. First of all, I want to say this morning that a lot of us, friend, today we'll find ourselves in a place where our love for Christ is nearly dead. Nearly dead. Oh, let me tell you something this morning, friend. You better be glad He loved you enough to die for you one day and to pay your sin debt that you owed. And we owe our love to Him this morning for what He done for us on Calvary, don't we? Amen. Is your love nearly dead today? For Christ, examine yourself now. Listen now. Get the medicine down you. It'll do you good if you'll get it down you this morning. I want to say, first of all, I find a lot of times that my problem and your problem might be that we've just gone calloused on God. We've heard the Word of God. We've been saturated with the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. And we get hardened to the Word of God, don't we? We've heard Calvary preached. We've heard the blood preached. We've heard it sung about so much, friend, that we've grown callous to the Word of God and to the things of God and to the love of God. Amen. Say amen, somebody. You know, I'm telling it right this morning. Is your love for God today where it ought to be? Examine yourself this morning and say amen if you can, or oh me. One or the other this morning, friend. I'm afraid our problem today, friend, we've gotten hard-hearted. We've got callous to the love of God. Hey, I'm telling you, Jesus loved us. Jesus loved us. He left the glories of heaven and He died for us on Calvary's cross. God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't send His Son because you was good, because you deserved it, friend. Let me tell you something this morning. You and me was dirty. We was filthy. We deserved hell. But God gave us His Son that we could be saved. It ain't no time to let your heart get hard. It ain't no time, friend, to get calloused on God. We owe Him our love, friend. Oh, the love of God today. He done everything for us, and we ought to love Him for what He did. Let me tell you something, the cross ought to move us. Every day of our lives, we ought to be thankful for the cross, what Jesus done for us on the cross. Every day of our lives, we sin and we come short of the glory of God. But let me tell you something this morning. I thank God that the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin, friend. And let me tell you, this morning I'm going to heaven because of the blood of Jesus cleansing me, washing me white as snow. I want to ask you this morning, is your love for Christ nearly dead? Oh, have you got calloused? Have you got calloused to the Word of God and the things of God? It's easy to be religious. Listen, friend, we ought to love Him. I hope you come this way this morning, not because you just felt a responsibility to be here, but I hope you come this way this morning because you loved Him. Because you loved Him. Because you owed Him today. Not only a problem of callousness, friend, but I'm afraid we have a problem of cheating. 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 James was a preacher that just told it like it was. James, over in James chapter 4, verse number 4, he said, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" I tell you why our love has grown so cold on God. Because we go out here and we court the world all week. And then we come to the house of God for an hour or so on Sunday morning. Expect God to meet with us. Expect God to bless us. When we've been cold on Him and cheating on Him all week. Amen. I'm telling it right, ain't I? Love for Christ is nearly dead because of our callousness. Because of our cheating, but because of our coldness. Coldness. Jesus told it right one day over in the book of Matthew, I believe it's chapter number 24, when His disciples came to Him and said, "Lord, what's going to be the sign of the end and of Thy coming?" He began to expound on the things of the perilous times, of the wars, the rumors of wars, the things that would be taking place out here in the world. But He also expounded on something that'd be taking place in your heart and in my heart. He said, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold." You better guard your heart against iniquity, friend. You'll get cold on God and you'll turn your back on God. You'll get so far out in the world, you'll be of no good to nobody. Well, since the doctor's in the house this morning, let's just take a little temperature today. You ever notice when you go to the doctor's office, one of the first things they do is take your temperature? Well, let's just take our temperature this morning. You know within yourself today if you're cold on God, don't you? You know it. I know it when I'm cold on God. When I ain't in the will of God. When I ain't took care of sin in my life. If there's something between me and God, there's a coldness there. And let me tell you something. The devil knows just exactly what sin is your weakness today. He'll put it in your life during the week. You'll get cold on God. You'll have no fellowship with God. You'll have no worship of God when you come to His house. How's your temperature? I wonder this morning if you're cold as ice on God or if you're burning up with fever for the lust of this world. One or the other. More than likely one or the other. You know, our problems for the love of Christ being nearly dead, we ought to love Him more than we ever have before. Amen? Amen. Let me say something this morning. Checking your temperature today. Wonder what He thinks about us. I'm glad His love don't get cold. I'm glad the Bible says He's loved us with an everlasting love. In other words, God don't love me more this morning than He will tomorrow. He don't love me any more this morning than He did yesterday. Matter of fact, He couldn't love me more. He couldn't love me more. He couldn't love you more today. Listen to me, friend. Think about your love for Christ. Is it nearly dead today? Let's go a little further. Not only in this thought of being nearly dead, is your love nearly dead, but is your light nearly dark? is your light nearly dark for Christ? And you'll find in your Bible over in the book of Matthew again in chapter number 25, there's a parable given by the Lord Jesus over there that there was 10 virgins. The Bible says 5 was wise and 5 was foolish. Now 5 took oil in their lamps and 5 didn't. And at midnight there was a cry went out, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. The 5 that were wise got up and they trimmed their lamps. The 5 foolish got up and they had no light. Their lights had gone out because they had no oil in their lamps. I'm afraid that's a lot like you and me. A lot of times in our lives, friend, our light's gone out because we ain't got any oil. Amen. You know, in the Bible, the oil is a type of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you this, that the power of the early church was the Holy Ghost? Hey, you can look in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, friend. They were in one mind. They were in one accord. And let me tell you something, friend. The Holy Ghost descended that day upon them. It lit upon them. And it filled every one of them that day. And things began to happen over there on the day of Pentecost. Listen to me, friend. We need that oil in our lives today to light up our lamps in our lives. I brought this old lamp with me today. This thing right here belonged to my grandpa, grandma and grandpa. And you know what? There ain't a drop of oil in it. And you know what? If grandma and grandpa had a took this thing at night and tried to light it up, it'd have been futile. It'd been useless, wouldn't it? Didn't have no oil. But if you put some oil in this thing, friend, and you can turn that wick up right there, you can stick a match to it, you can put that glow back on it, friend, she'll go to burning, she'll get brighter and brighter, friend, and there'll be some light coming out of that thing. Can I say this morning, a problem we have a lot of times, our light's gone out because our lamp's got any oil. How's your light shining this morning? Hey, let me ask you something. When's the last time you prayed fervently, asked God to forgive you of your sins and to fill you with the Holy Ghost? Think about it. When's the last time you really prayed that prayer? There's a lesson, friend. It takes all to make your light shine. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. And if your light's going to shine, I believe I got Bible to prove it, friend. You need some oil in your lamp. Are you dry? Has your wick gone dry? You giving out any light in your life day by day? Listen to me, friend. Oh, be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. That are ready to die. Listen, sometimes when you go to the doctor, they give you an examination. You know what he'll do? He'll sit there at his little desk there and he'll say, I'm going to write you a prescription. I got a prescription for you this morning. Listen, I've got a prescription for you this morning if your light's gone out. If your oil's dried up and gone, Ephesians 5, verse number 18, I believe it is, 18 and 19, the Bible says, be not drunk on wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Pretty simple, ain't it? You know what? Prescription won't do you one bit of good if you don't get it filled, will it? It won't do you any good if you don't take it then, will it? Amen? Tell you what we need. We need to get our prescription. Did the doctor ever give you a prescription with several refills on it? Well, that's a blessing when you don't have to go back to the doctor, ain't it? Huh? Well, let me tell you something. We got unlimited refills. We've got unlimited refills on our prescription here. So I advise you this morning, if your light's getting dim, if your light's gone out, get your prescription refilled today. Get you some oil in your lamp. Get your wicks trimmed. That's what something else we need to do is get our wicks trimmed. Trim that junk off of it. There's a lot of junk gets in our life and gets our lamp to burning kind of sideways and gets a smoking bunch of junk. You need to trim your wick this morning and get this junk out of your life that's putting your fire out. Get some oil in your lamp. Not only the reason we're nearly dead is because our love for Christ is nearly dead. Our light for Christ is nearly dark, but and thirdly, friend, our lifting of Christ is nearly destitute. You hear me? Our lifting of Christ is nearly forsaken. Amen. Are you listening this morning? Is anybody listening today? I'm talking about our lifting of Christ is nearly destitute. We want to come to the house of God and we want the preacher to lift Christ up. We want the deacons to lift Christ, the singers to lift Christ up. We want somebody to lift Christ up. But what about you this morning? What about you this morning? I tell you what our trouble is this morning, friend. We've lost our tears. We've got no praise in our life. We've got no thanksgiving in our hearts. We come to the house of God expecting God to bless us somehow or another. When we've lost our testimony, we've lost our tears, we can't even say a holy amen or a holy grunt at the house of God. I'm afraid, friend, our lifting of Christ is nearly destitute. He's still seeking somebody in spirit and in truth to worship Him. Over in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanksgiving to His name. And that us in there happens to be those of you and me that are born again. Oh, we get a blessing when somebody else worships God, when somebody else is praising God. Boy, that's our blessing, ain't it? Well, you're missing out on the biggest blessing of your life. If you can't lift your hands and give thanksgiving to Him, you're missing out on a blessing. I tell you what our problem is. We forgot where He found us. We have forgotten how He fixed us. And we've forgotten how He favored us. Amen. Can I give you a Bible example this morning? Somebody you probably hadn't thought a whole lot of here lately. There's a lady in your Bible by the name of Mary Magdalene. And I want to turn to a few scriptures and just show you some things in the life of this lady right here. In Luke chapter 8, if you want to look, women, that'll be fine. I tell you what, if you don't, I'll just read it to you. Luke chapter 8 verse 1 says, and it came to pass afterward that He went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with Him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. She was following Him. Hey, why was she following Him? Because He fixed her. Because He favored her. And she couldn't forget what He'd done for her. Well, listen to me, friend. Not only there, but if you'll look in the book of John, chapter number 19, I want you to see something right here. In John, chapter number 19, the Bible says this right here in verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene, standing by the cross. The disciples had fled, but this Mary just couldn't get over the fact that He cast out 7 devils for, and she was at His cross when they crucified Him. Not only you find her there, but look back with me in the book of Matthew, chapter number 27. Don't miss this right here. In Matthew 27, the Bible says in verse number 57, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate, begged the body of Jesus, then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. when Joseph had taken the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Look here. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Boy, she just wouldn't leave him alone. She followed him all the way to the grave. Hey, listen to me, friend, for what he had done for her. Not only that, but look in chapter number 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow, and for fear of his keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Hey, she got to peek in there and see the grave clothes are laying there that day. Hey, listen to me, friend. She just couldn't get over what the Lord had done for her. And you'll read over in the book of St. Mark that Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene after he was risen from the dead. I tell you what our trouble is today. Reason we can't see him today, friend, is because we don't love him like we ought to. Hey, listen to me, friend. She just couldn't get over what he had done for her. And I believe with all my heart all the days of her life, I bet you she praised him. I bet you she thanked him because she was able to look back and see where she was when he found her. She was able to look back and see how he fixed her. And she was able to look and see how he favored her and given her eternal life and casting out the devils out of her life. Boy, we ought to be thankful this morning. Oh, listen to me, friend. Is your lifting today nearly destitute? Oh, I'm talking about, have you forgotten how to praise Him? Hey, listen to me. When we come to the house of God, we come to worship Him, don't we? We call this a place of worship, don't we? Are you worshiping Him today? A lot of times, we're so ashamed just to lift our hands and to thank Him. A lot of times at the house of God, I wonder this morning, we had a testimony meeting during Sunday school. Wonder how many people quench the Spirit of God. You know what? When a testimony meeting opens up, you ought to be knocking each other down, getting up. Amen! Everybody in the house ought to be standing up saying something for Him, for what He's done for. But I'm afraid our lifting has nearly deteriorated because we quench the Spirit of God. I'll tell you what you need. You need your temperature checked. You need your prescription refilled. You need a little mental therapy this morning. You need a little mental therapy this morning. I've got a good source for it right here. Can I show you something here, what he said? Here it is. Here's your mental therapy. Revelation 3 and 3, he said, remember. 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 Every time you come to the house of God, you ought to remember what He's done for you. You ought to remember where He found you and how He fixed you. And you ought to be thankful when you come to the house of God. Remember, therefore, how that thou hast received and heard and hold fast. And here's another word, repent. 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 Do you good to examine yourself. See if there's something you need to cough up on the altar and get out of your life. Mental therapy. Lastly, this morning. Not only is our love for Christ nearly dead, Our life for Christ is nearly dark. The lifting of Christ nearly destitute. But our labor for Christ is nearly deserted. Boy, I love to see folks working for the Lord, don't you? I love to see folks are working for the Lord, don't you? But what about when He tells me to go do something? Well, what am I going to do? You see, I'm a debtor to the grace of God. You a debtor to the grace of God. Brother Vince spoke about that grace this morning. I'm a debtor to the grace of God. And you know what? It's a debt that I can't repay. It's something that He gave me that I wasn't worthy of. I feel an indebtedness to His grace this morning. And I feel obligated to be available to Him. If He speaks to me, if He compels me, I'm His. He bought me with a price. And I'm a debtor to the grace of God this morning. To obey Him, to serve Him, to live for Him. But I'm afraid not only are we debtors, but I'm afraid we're defaulters. We've defaulted on our debt. We wait for somebody else to do it. God speaks to you and tries to move you to do something. I'm afraid a lot of times we want somebody else to go. Lord, let somebody else do it. Send somebody else, Lord. When we ought to be the first in line, realizing what a debt we owe Him, we ought to be willing to go and do anything that He compels us to do. Not only are we debtors and we're defaulters, but I'm afraid here we are today. We have deviated. What am I talking about? We've deviated to other gods. I believe that's where we're at today in churchdom. We want to give the Lord maybe an hour, 2 hours of our time during the week. Think that we've done Him a favor. We show up on Sunday morning because we're afraid the preacher will call and ask us where we're at. If we love the Lord, He ought to be God of our life. Not something out here that would take us away from Him, from His house, and from the things of God. Are you listening to me this morning? You remember, those of you that's married, you men that's married, you remember when you first met your wife? How in love you was? Huh? Hey, I got an old cat down at the house. Let me tell you something. I got a cat that's never been in the house. But you know, I go to the door and grab the knob and look out there and there's that stupid cat sitting there waiting to try to stick his head in the door. So I grab the knob and I get my foot right there ready to kick. Because that cat wants to get in the house. You know, I remember when I first started dating my wife. Boy, every time they opened the door, there I stood, trying to get in. Her daddy was there kicking, too. You know why? Because I loved her. Because I wanted to be with her. I wanted to be near her. That's the way we ought to be about God. We ought to want to be near Him. He's done it all for us. He's doing it all for us, and He's going to do it all for us. We ought to love Him. We ought to not get deviated to other gods. Psalms 81:9 says this, "There shall be no strange God." Listen to this. "There shall be no strange God in thee. Neither shalt thou worship any strange God." Well, He ought to be on the throne of our hearts. You know what I find this morning? Now, we're at the doctor's office right now. "There shall be no strange God in thee." You know what? You know what the doctor says this morning? "Well, I'm afraid you need some surgery. You need some surgery. You know what he's saying this morning? There ain't going to be no scalpel. It's going to be a two-edged sword. You need to cut out them strange gods. Get them out of your life. He labors nearly deserted, lifting nearly destitute, light nearly dark, love nearly dead. What's your symptoms this morning? You need any help today? Wonder, hey, you listening? He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that hath, you need a hearing aid this morning? He said, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. I want you to stand with me all over this house this morning.